Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is about this park ranger who was on their routine patrol one evening when they discover some smoke far off in the distance that shouldn't be there. Frightened that it might be some forest fire, he goes to investigate. Once arriving, he encounters something that should not exist. Now, let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I have been a park ranger for many years, and I love the forest because it is diverse. In Elysian Grove, the trees stretch their branches across the sky, and the ground is covered with an intricate weave of grasses, shrubs, flowers, and mosses. Every time I walk into the forest and catch sight of a new vista, I feel as if I am discovering something brand new. A hawk glides past me, and I watch its every move. Then I realize that it is hunting, searching for prey to bring home to his family. If a fire spreads through the forest and destroys everything in its path, a vast portion of our natural history will be lost forever. Several weeks ago, however, something peculiar occurred to me that I just have to share with you. I was on my usual patrolling in the forest. The towering trees and a canopy of leaves were so thick they blocked out all the light. The ground was covered in a soft blanket of moss, lichen, and ivy, with interweaving roots and fallen logs forming intriguing pathways. The air was thick with a fragrant scent of pine needles and wildflowers, and the sound of birdsong fills the air. A deep silence pervaded the forest, broken only by the rustling of leaves, the gentle ripple of stream water, and the croaks and calls of various wildlife creatures. Every now and again, I could hear distant thunder rumbling in the distance, or a twig snapping underfoot. Everywhere I looked, there was beauty and serenity. As I ventured further into the woodlands by my quad, I noticed smoke curling up in the sky. My mind leaped that worry that a forest fire had broken out. With caution, I inched closer to the aroma of smoke and hid in the dense foliage. To my surprise, I spotted an entire village that was concealed from view until now. I couldn't believe there were people living in this remote area of the forest. A small, peculiar village was tucked away in the depths of the forest. The buildings were made of logs and stones as if they had been grown from the ground itself. The village was surrounded by tall trees, obscuring it from view. The people there moved slowly and cautiously, as though they were wary of being seen. A thin plume of smoke rose up into the air, indicating that a fire had been lit in the center of the village. A feeling of mystery filled the air around the village and made me want to explore further. As I made my way through the bushes, the village seemed to have been untouched by the modern world. To my surprise, I was greeted by a group of friendly villagers who welcomed me with open arms. "Hello there, I'm Emma, a park ranger. It's nice to meet y'all," I said. The villagers smiled and welcomed me with their humble abode. "We are honored to have you here, Emma. Please come with us, we'll make you some tea," said one of the villagers. I followed them into a cozy house, where I noticed a peculiar tradition. The villagers always walked backwards when entering or exiting a building. "I couldn't help but notice that you walk backwards when entering or exiting a building. Is there a reason for this?" I asked, curious. The villagers exchanged a look, and then one of them spoke up. "Yes, it is a tradition that has been passed down for generations. We believe that walking backwards brings us good luck and keeps evil spirits away." I nodded in understanding and took a seat at the table, where they served me a cup of tea made from herbs found in the forest. As I sipped on the warm beverage, I struck up a conversation with the villagers. "I must say, I'm quite amazed by this place. How long have you all been living here?" I asked.
"Many generations. We've always lived here, and never contacted anybody else," replied one of the villagers. I was taken aback by that statement. It was hard to believe that such a remote village had managed to survive without any contact with the outside world, not to mention that I have been working as a park ranger, but I have never came across their village, and I should have known about it.
"That's quite impressive. How do you manage to sustain yourselves?" I asked.
"We have our own land, and we cultivate it for our needs. We also gather food from the forest and nearby river," replied another villager.
As we continued to chat and drink tea, I felt a sense of peace and tranquility in the village. It was a stark contrast from the hustle and bustle of the city. As we conversed, I pulled out my pocket-sized vanity mirror to check my lip color. Before I could lift it up to my face, I saw the uneasiness in the room, followed by the few stares when they realized what it was. Even in the dim light of the room, I could tell the residents wanted me to keep it away. It was very odd, and I couldn't help but ask,
"Excuse me, is there something wrong with my mirror?"
The residents looked at each other nervously, and then one of them spoke up.
"We don't like mirrors in this house. They give us bad luck and attract negative energy."
I was taken aback by their response, but I tried to hide my surprise and asked,
"Really? I've never heard of that before. Can you tell me more about it?"
The residents hesitated for a moment, but then they opened up and shared their beliefs with me. In our culture, mirrors are believed to be a portal to another world, and they could attract spirits and ghosts. We avoid them as much as possible. I nodded slowly, trying to be respectful of their beliefs, but I couldn't help but wonder why they were so afraid of mirrors. I decided to change the subject and ask them about their hobbies and interests. As we talked, I couldn't help but glance at my mirror every now and then, but the residents kept their distance from it. It was as if they were afraid to touch it or even look at it.
I nodded in agreement and left, still feeling puzzled by their beliefs about mirrors. It was a strange experience, but it was also interesting to learn about a different culture's beliefs and customs. After a few minutes, I accepted their offer to explore the tiny village. As I stepped out of the house, I immediately noticed something strange. None of the people in the community had shadows. Even stranger was that their footsteps made no sound against the pavement. I froze in place and watched them in amazement as they moved silently through the streets. One of the inhabitants noticed my confusion and approached me.
"Is everything okay?" he asked.
I hesitated for a moment, trying to figure out the right words.
I couldn't help but notice that you and your community members don't seem to have any shadows," I finally said, hoping for a logical explanation.
The inhabitant shrugged.
"It's just the way we are. We've always been this way for as long as we could remember."
I was getting frustrated with his vague answers.
"But how is that even possible?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady.
The inhabitant looked at me calmly.
"We don't know. It's just part of our community's history and culture."
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was like something out of a horror movie.
I have to go," I stuttered, feeling uneasy.
As I walked away, I couldn't shake off the feeling of dread that lingered within me. I'd never experienced anything like this before. The more I thought about it, the more scared I became.
It was as if I had stumbled upon a community of ghosts. I decided to do more research on this community when I got back home. But at that moment, I noticed that one of the inhabitants was watching me intently. He approached me and introduced himself as Jackson. "I heard you were interested in learning more about our culture," he said with a friendly smile. "If you'd like, I could take you deeper into the village and show you around." I hesitated for a moment before agreeing. Jackson seemed nice enough, and I was curious to learn. He led me through the narrow streets, pointing out various landmarks and explaining their significance. We eventually stopped in front of a large building, and he explained that it was a temple dedicated to the gods of their community. It was a stunning sight. The temple was made of white stone and had intricate carvings all over its facade. The windows were stained glass, depicting scenes of ancient mythology. We stepped inside the temple, and I couldn't help but feel awed by its beauty. Everywhere I looked, there were statues and sculptures that seemed to come alive with every movement of light. The walls were decorated with colorful tapestries and paintings that depicted stories from long ago. As Jackson and I were leaving the temple, I suddenly heard the sound of bells ringing in the distance. I turned to Jackson, puzzled. "What's that sound?" I asked. Jackson smiled at me. "That's the sound of bells signaling the start of a silent hour," he explained. "For the next hour, nobody in the village is allowed to speak or make any noise. It's believed to help us attune to the forest's energy." I was taken aback by his explanation. "Wait, what? Nobody speaks for an hour?" I asked, incredulous. Jackson nodded. "Yes, it's a tradition that we've had for many years. It helps us connect with nature and find inner peace." I couldn't help but feel skeptical about the idea. "But how do you communicate with each other during that time? What if there's an emergency?" Jackson chuckled. "We have our own ways of communicating without speaking. We use hand gestures and facial expressions. And if there's an emergency, we break the silence." As we walked through the village, I noticed that everyone was observing the silent hour. It was eerily quiet, with no sound except for the rustling of leaves and the occasional chirping of birds. I tried to keep quiet, but it was difficult for me. I was used to talking and making noise, and the silence was making me feel restless. I couldn't help but feel like I was being punished for something. But as the hour went on, I began to appreciate the stillness and quietness of the village. It was like a peaceful oasis in the midst of a chaotic world. And when the hour was over and the villagers started to talk again, I felt a sense of relief and gratitude. Although it was strange and unfamiliar to me, I accepted the tradition and learned to appreciate the beauty of silence. It was a humbling experience that taught me to slow down and appreciate the present moment. After the end of the silent hour, the village returned to its usual liveliness. People were talking and laughing, children were playing, and the sounds of music filled the air. I spent some more time exploring the village, admiring its beauty and talking to the locals. But as I spent more time with them, I began to notice something strange. The people in the village were somehow different from anyone I had ever met before. They spoke in a strange language that I could not understand, and their customs and beliefs were completely foreign to me. It was as if I had stepped into a different world, one that didn't seem real. The more I explored, the more I felt like I was in a dream. The village seemed too perfect, too beautiful, too serene. It was like a utopia, and it was almost too good to be true. The locals seemed too calm, too peaceful, almost like they were under some kind of spell. It was as if they had no worries, no problems, no conflicts. I tried to ignore my uneasy and enjoy the beauty of the village, but the more I looked around, the more I felt like I was in a surreal world. It was like a movie set where everything was perfect and pristine, but it lacked the messiness and complexity of real life. As the day drew to a close, I realized I needed to leave the village. It was too strange, too unreal, and I couldn't wait to get back home. As it was getting darker, I noticed that the eyes of the inhabitants seemed to glow subtly in the darkness. It was a strange sight, and it sent shivers down my spine. I turned to Jackson, who was standing next to me, and asked, "Why are your eyes glowing like that?" Jackson looked at me, a hint of amusement in his eyes. "Our eyes have always been like this," he explained. "It's part of our biology. We could see in the dark, which is why we don't need any lights in the village." I couldn't help but feel creeped out by his response. "You don't need any lights because your eyes glow?" I asked, trying to make sense of it all. Jackson nodded. "Yes, that's right. And we don't sleep either. We believe that sleep is a waste of time, and that we could achieve more by staying awake all the time." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was like I had stumbled upon a village of nocturnal creatures. "You never sleep?" I asked, feeling more scared than ever. Jackson smiled. "No, we don't. We spend our nights meditating and connecting with nature." I wanted to leave the village as soon as possible. I couldn't shake off the feeling of dread that lingered within me. It was as if I had stumbled upon a community of creatures that were not human. "I have to go," I said, my voice shaking. "Thank you for showing me around." Jackson nodded in understanding. "Of course, it was nice to have you here. Come back anytime." I turned and walked away, feeling like I had escaped from the nightmare. The experience had been both fascinating and terrifying, and I couldn't wait to leave the village behind. I started running towards my quad, desperate to get away from the strange village. I felt like I was being watched, and I could feel the eyes of the villagers on my back as I ran. The darkness seemed to stretch before me, and the stars shone brightly in the night sky. The forest was dark and eerie, with twisted trees that seemed to reach out for me. The only sound was the rumble of the quad's engine and the rustling of leaves in the wind. The night was quiet and still, with no signs of life around me. As I drove deeper into the forest, the darkness seemed to close in on me, making it difficult to see what lay ahead. I could feel my heart pounding in my chest, and my palms were sweating on the handles of my quad. It was as if the forest was alive and was watching me. The only thing that kept me going was the thought of getting out of the forest and back to civilization. I had never felt so alone and vulnerable, and I was desperate to get out of there as soon as possible. As I continued driving, the forest seemed to become even more surreal. The trees were twisted and gnarled, and the shadows seemed to move and shift in the darkness. It was like a nightmare come to life, and I couldn't help but wonder if I would ever make it out of there alive. But then, I saw a glimmer of light at the ranger station, and my heart leaped with hope. It was a sign of civilization, and I knew I was getting closer to safety. With renewed energy, I drove towards the light, determined to make it back home. The forest may have been eerie and terrifying, but I was stronger than my fear, and I knew that I could make it out of there. As I arrived at the ranger station, I felt a sense of relief wash over me. I could see my colleague John sitting up at his desk, typing away on his computer. He was looking up and saw me. His expression changed from a surprise to concern. "Are you okay?" he asked, noticing the pale and terrified look on my face. I shook my head, feeling too scared to speak at first. Then I took a deep breath and told him about my experience in a strange village. John listened intently, nodding occasionally as I recounted my encounter with the villagers. As I finished my story, John's grandfather walked into the office. He was an old man with a kind face and a gentle smile. He greeted me warmly and then listened to me as I repeated my story. When I finished, the old man looked thoughtful.
"I know the area you're talking about," he said slowly. "There used to be a village of Indians living there. They had a beautiful community with their own customs and beliefs."
I felt a sense of unease creeping over me as he spoke. "What happened to them?" I asked, my voice shaking. The old man sighed.
"They were hit with a natural disaster a long time ago. Their village was destroyed, and no survivors were ever found."
I felt a chill run down my spine. The thought of encountering spirits and ghosts was too much for me to handle, but I have not had the courage to go back and find it out either.